All right. Well, good morning. Just again, continuing with the announcement of tonight's women's meeting. Even if you're not reading the book, you are encouraged to come and be a part of that. Whether you have the book or not, you have the book and haven't been reading, or just don't even have the book. Feel free to still come. You are encouraged to come and still be a part of the women's meeting. So don't let that be a discouragement, like, oh, I won't know what's going on because I haven't read the book. No, be encouraged to come and be a part of that. And then before we dismiss the children, there are new children's church calendars for the teachers. So if you are a teacher and you're like, am I teaching in October and November? See Jennifer. You must see Jennifer today. She has the calendars, and she will... see her next door. She's waving through me through the foyer. Go next door and see her after service to get that, please. Don't forget. Grab that calendar. And thank you to our volunteers who help so diligently every week. And with that, we will dismiss our children, ages 3 through 12, to their classrooms next door. Your bulletin this week is looking like the weekly mailers with all these inserts. I need the podium to just go through them all. Don't worry, I'm not preaching. So there is an upcoming baby shower for Caitlin and Mary Lou on Sunday, November 2nd from 4 to 6 o'clock. And so you can see the information there. And please RSVP to Pastor Asia about that. Coming up in October 24th, we're going to have a family movie night here in the back of the backyard of the church. We're going to have an inflatable screen, and it's going to be pretty cool. October 24th, hopefully the weather's finally starting to cool back down, and so it'll be there in the evening. So I encourage you to come be a part of that. Invite somebody. There's going to be special VIP seating. And that does cost, but otherwise it's free, right? Otherwise it's free movie night. But if you want the special VIP seating, you got to pay special VIP pricing. if you have any questions about that, you could see Shatara or Vinny about that. And then the Roots, the young adults, is going bowling on October 10th. This flyer is in the foyer, so... grab one of those. Don't forget about that. At Lightning Strikes Bowling, that's October 10th at 7:30, so don't forget about that. Your regular announcements, don't forget about evangelism training on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock here at the church. We talked about Roots. We talked about the movie night. And then if you are interested in being a part of a foundation teaching, you can see either Pastor George or Pastor Asia about that, and they would be happy to tell you more about that and get you in that class. And I believe that is all the announcements for this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, we want to welcome you. We're so glad you're here with us. Hopefully we greeted you as you came in and gave you a welcome packet. And that welcome packet is a little card that you can fill out, and you can place that card at the box in the back or the offering plate here in the front. But in there, it talks about giving, and that we believe giving is an act of worship. And we don't pass the plate at a specific time. We don't dedicate a specific moment of service for it, but the plate is open throughout the service, and you can give as you feel led by the Lord, and you can give your offering by placing it in the plate up front, the box in the back, or online at lmclabelle.org, and there's a give button in the top corner. And you can follow the instructions from there. And we are going to bless it at this time. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the works that you've done in our lives, Lord, for the praise we've given you already, God, for the testimonies we've heard, the way that you've moved in our lives and through this community. Father, we pray that you would continue to move in this place and in our community and in us individually, Father. God, I thank you for the every family represented here, Lord, I thank you for the tithes and offerings that have been given and will be given throughout the service. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and multiply them. Lord, we ask for wisdom and guidance for the board of directors as they allocate these funds, that they would do so according to your will, for your glory and honor, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Matthew. All right. A couple of weeks ago, well, it's been more than a couple of weeks ago, Michelle asked me, well, she asked us if she could minister something that the Lord put in her heart. And at that time, I hadn't planned the subjects that we're tackling right now. So I said, yeah, that'd be no problem. So I already had the message for that last time after she asked, and it didn't relate to anything that's happening now. But then after that, after I said yes to her on the time, then the Lord started downloading messages on warfare, spiritual warfare. And there were just more than just one message on warfare that the Lord wanted me to minister. And I thought, well, Lord, that's kind of odd that after I said yes to her to minister, then there's going to be a lapse in the ministry that you are talking to the house right now. So last Sunday, I started talking about spiritual warfare, and at the end of the service, she said, I'm so glad you taught on what you taught, because I had so much and I didn't know how to condense it into one service. And so, obviously, the Lord is talking to us through different ways about a single subject. So I am excited to hear what the Lord has told Michelle, and she is going to minister to us right now. Amen.
Test. All right, there we go. Oh, thank you. So, although I'm feeling slightly nervous, I see it's a home crowd today for the most part. There's a few, so I'm going to put this here. Thank you. I don't know if I need that. I don't think I've prepared any slides, so it's mostly scripture. I would say that I think this is the easiest thing I've done this week. So I faced my own battles all week. So I'm happy to be here, nerves and all, but I made it. Yeah, so Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us here on this day for such a time as this, Lord, to be raised up, Lord, to be prepared for what you have before us. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. That, Father, you're not giving all the pop quizzes to us, Lord. You prepare us for battle. You prepare us, Father, to walk into that next situation, whatever that is, Lord. And we just need to trust you, Father, and be obedient. So, Father, I pray today that you would increase the faith of your people in you, Father, and in your plan and in your ways and in the strategy that you download to them, Lord, for their particular battles right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, again, I pray that you would anoint what I have to say, Father, and may anything that is not of you fall to the ground. And, Father, all things that are of you would take root, grow down deep, and spring up, Lord, and bring life to each believer here, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for your graciousness and your goodness and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. First of all, I would like to say thank you to Olivia, wherever she is, and the praise team. What a wonderful setup. I appreciate that. Pastor George said that as well. I appreciate it. I couldn't have had a better service to come in behind, you know, of ministry and praise and worship. And they're on the front line, by the way. And I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. I always say that and I don't always get back. So don't hold me to that, please. So in August, it was before all this, the things have happened politically, and I don't want to be political, but I do want you to say that I was standing in my kitchen and I heard the Lord say, in the way that he speaks to me, hold the line. Kind of quiet. Hold the line. I'm like, okay. I'm going to hold the line washing my dishes. You know, Lord, I hold the line, no problem. And he said, tell my people, hold the line. And I went, oh, okay. So my idea of telling you how to hold the line or hold the line was I'll just come on the mic and say, listen, in these little couple minutes that we have in our opportunities to just speak, hold the line. But the Lord's like, no, tell my people to hold the line and there's more to it. So then that put me on my knees, of course, and just seeking what is it that the Lord has for you to say. So I am speaking to myself, but also to you to encourage you to hold the line and also to exhort you. If you are falling behind and not holding the line, get up.
That's right.
Awake. It is time. I don't know what other sign we need as God's people to hold the line and awake, but he's calling.
Yes. Amen.
Awake. As I began to study a little bit, I'm a movie watcher, and I'm not condoning any of these movies, so is that the little caveat to the side? But when I thought about holding the line, I think about movies like Braveheart and Gladiator, maybe The Last Samurai. Again, I'm not condoning you watch any of those, young people. I'm just giving maybe a time reference. And you see, I could see the shield. Maybe Lord of the Rings might be a nicer one to say, you know, more biblical one. Shield, and they're stand locked in arm like this, and they're holding the line, shoulder to shoulder, and soldier to soldier, locked, ready for the onslaught coming on.
That's right.
It's not one person, body of Christ. I'm talking to believers today. It is a line of soldiers holding the line, understanding what's behind them and what they're protecting. And in the same place, ready to move forward and advance the kingdom. Not, you know, but sometimes it feels like that, and it's okay. It's okay. But you hold the line with other believers in Christ. You protect what's behind you, and you move forward. Because, see, God promises wherever you step your foot, that is where he is. He is in you. You have the light in you. I think a word was brought last week that somebody came on the mic and the light is in us and where we go. Maybe that was Mike Pelletier. And we bring that light to that place.
Right.
Just like Mr. Carlos and Mike. When they get into that jail, the Lord is there. The Lord is in them. And they're breaking through that darkness, as Pastor Asia has said.
Yes.
The soldiers formed a wall of shields and they created a battle line. Hold the line meant not breaking rank. You don't retreat. Because when the line is broken, the whole line is in danger.
That's right.
The whole line is in danger. And then the enemy would have access and would destroy everything in its path and whatever's behind it. So today, spiritually, that's in the physical. If you've been with our pastors very long, very, very often, they'll tell us what's happening in the physical is often mirroring what's happening in the spiritual. We can't see that, right? We face a battle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. So when I say hold the line, it's not just about us individually. I was trying to make the illustration earlier, but also about the believers in Christ standing together. We need each other more than ever. Evidence of the unseen battle, because I can remember, I don't know how aware I was of an unseen battle going on until my children came into the world. Then I thought, this doesn't make sense. I'd been to church since I was 10 years old. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. Anyway, I understood there's a battle happening that I cannot see with my human eye. And then when you go to Ephesians 6:12, again shared last week by Pastor George, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You can't see it unless God reveals it to you.
Amen.
It's not something I can will. Oh, I'm going to see that. Oh, I can see the devil in the bush over there. And I can see the bush. No, God will help me. The Holy Spirit gifts you to see what you need to see. Not so you can be scared, but so you can pray. And you can seek out his strategy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
In 2 Corinthians, it says, chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, just another example of the unseen things are real. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. What you see on this earth is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. They're eternal. Why the battle cry right now for people's souls? That's eternal. This stuff is going to pass away. We want people in heaven with us. Jesus wants people in heaven with us. Also in 2 Kings 6:15 and 17, and Pastor Asia does this, tells the story so much better. I hope she does some teaching on spiritual warfare. Elisha's with a servant. There's a big war going on, and he's like, oh, Lord. They wake up, and the servant says, hey, Elisha, there's more of them than they are in this physical battle. And then Elisha prays, 2 Kings 6:15 through 17, he says, so he answered to the servant, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, in my little mind, I tend to focus on where's the devil, okay? But in this particular instance, the Lord wants us to focus on our strategies, right? And how God is surrounding us. Pastor Age even mentioned last week, angels around us. Now, we don't pray to angels, and I'm sure that message will come too at some point. We don't worship angels. Amen. We don't demand them come and fix us. We talk to God, and God decides how to dispatch angels on our behalf. If you have questions about that, see them. How's that? in Daniel 10, 12 through 13, there's another, again, one of my favorites to hear from Pastor Asia is the spiritual conflict going in the heavens. Daniel is asking, he's on his knees, he's been praying and waiting for the answer. And then he gets the answer. The angel tells him he was in a fight with another spiritual power and kept him from bringing the prayer.
That's right.
So the insistent prayer on Monday nights, people standing in the gap for you, and the answer's not there, but there's a reason. The persistence and the consistency opens doors to literally prison when we need it. Then there is an enemy at work. 1 Peter 5:8-9, and it says, be sober, be vigilant. Very familiar with these verses, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Not going to expound on that. Just know that the enemy hates you. Why? Because God loves you. And he wants to be God. So we have the ability to mirror the image of God. We are not God, but we have the ability to love. And he lives in us, and he makes us righteous. The enemy doesn't get that chance.
That's right.
The only thing he can do is try to take each one of us out one at a time, however that looks. I don't want to conjure up any anxiety, so in the name of Jesus, I bind that. When you listen to these things about the unseen war, maybe you don't understand it, maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about, but I want to remind you that the victory has been won by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
The victory is done. The victory is won. However, the battle is still raging. So we don't get exempt necessarily from the battles, but you just rest in that peace we were singing about. It's already won. God's won the victory. So what's the line? If we're going to hold the line, let's know what it is. So as I explained earlier, I want to add something, though, of key importance. In the physical, the line was literally the front of the soldiers in formation, and the line was also usually where, I bet you could fill in the blank, where the heat of the battle was, right there in the front. It's the place of the heaviest attack, and it's also where we're doing the fiercest resistance. In the spirit, or spiritually, or also behind the veil, the unseen, the line is, first of all, what we stand for. We stand for God's truth, his promises, his ways, his boundaries. Basically, it's the ground he's already given to us. You got this. His promises. You've got his truth. You have his word, right? You have his ways. We know his boundaries. He's not kept those things secret from us. Everything we need is here. Amen. Second, the line is also where we stand. We do stand on the front line. We stand in the heat of the battle, and it is where the enemy will press us the hardest to run and retreat. You have either fought on some of the fronts I'm about to mention, or you're in the middle of fighting for one of these fronts, or you will fight on these fronts. You will. And I know you'll all identify with them. First of all is our families. The enemy wants your family. He wants that next generation. He wants your children. He wants our grandchildren. Oh, just make me want to do like this. Mess with my grandchildren. Look at me. Sorry. When you mess with my grandchildren. Oh, and my children too, I guess. Oh, and my mother. And who else? I'm sorry. Do I need a handheld instead? Thank you. Also, our marriages. Not going to cry.
Continue.
I'm trying to cry. Yes, sir.
Very good. You're good.
Thank you.
You're in your pocket.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Marriages are under attack. Yes. And if you don't take it seriously, the enemy does. Amen. If you don't put up the guards and you don't get on your knees and you don't make some changes to meet each other where you need to be, you may not have a marriage. Stop being selfish. Stop making it about you and serve that partner in the way that is healthy and that is good. And if, goodness, if you your marriage is on fire, as my Ethan always says, my hair's on fire, running around. If you're on fire, then get some help. And I don't mean on fire in the way we want it to be on fire, but get some help and don't wait. Get the help. Ask for prayer at least. There's people up here every week that are going to hold your confidence. You don't even have to tell them. You can just say, I need prayer for my marriage. Or you can just say, I need prayer. Whatever the Lord brings to you. I get that a lot. I love praying that way too. Right? Because then you know it's the Lord. Right? You know it's the Lord reaching in and saying, oh yeah, they need this. So the front line is your families and your marriages. If you're feeling the heat there and the intensity of that, there's a reason for it. Because when the enemy can topple our families, he makes a real inroad to get to your generations, yes. And he wants you to crumble. Yes. And I'm here to say, as Pastor Aja said this morning, but God can restore anything. Amen. I believe that. Also, the front line is your identity, and we can see this out in the world. You don't know who you are or whose you are. Please get this settled. How many times does Pastor George need to bring Ephesians? Well, I won't do that because I've been here a while, and he brings Ephesians whenever it's needed. You need to know Ephesians chapter 1. Memorize it. Who you are in Christ. And then you need to know whose you are.
That's right.
He's going to try to get you at truth. If you don't know God's word, you're not going to know if you're listening to a lie. You need the Holy Spirit, or is this the truth? Not somebody's opinion, not even mine. Go to God's word. Test the spirits. And then your integrity. I get tested here all the time, especially in the workplace. And it's the little things. Maybe I should steal that copy paper, and I really like that pen they gave me. But no, I have to leave it there. It's a little thing, right? It's a little thing. Come on. No. And then, but because of integrity, and I, by the help of God, I know what I did and when I did and what I didn't do. And so when somebody does call me on that and the enemy is trying to get into my workplace and my workspace and my area, I know what I did. I don't have to say, oh, you know. So integrity. He wants to break. Why? He wants to dull your witness. He wants to dull your testimony. Two other fronts. And then also, I'll say the last front and keep moving on. the unity in the church is a fierce battle. We've talked different times about offense, most recently being offended so easily with one another. And I've been there, so we just get arrogant about stuff, and I could have done that better or whatever. And it brings division. And the enemy's going, because he knows there's power in numbers. The world gets it. The world gets that there's powers in number. Look how they unite around a cause. Godly or ungodly, right? So they get it. Why don't we get it? We need each other. We need it. The heat of the battle is most intense in the areas where, the heat of the battle is most intense in these areas that I've just said, and where holding the line matters most. I just made it really simple for you. Families and marriages, your identity and your faith, truth and integrity, witness and your testimony, and unity in the church. It's where holding it means the most. If you got to do a priority list. Family first. So when we think of the phrase hold the line, I want you to stand on and for God's truth. We stand in the fight where these areas are under attack with complete reliance, though, however, that when we do, the Lord himself strengthens us to endure and overcome the battle before us, no matter how fierce. God will give you what you need in time of need. Ultimately, the line is the ground of God's truth. Again, like I said, not my own truth. It's not even the world's philosophy, and may I dare say, even academic education, and I'm in that place. I teach in an educational institute. That is not necessarily, right at all, God's truth. All these things change over time. They come and they go. The nice thing, I know Sherry could probably, the nice thing is these things cycle back around, don't they, Sherry? The same thing they were doing 20 years ago, they've decided is a brand new thing today, and we're going to do it again. So, I would like to say only the Word of God stands. He promises his Word doesn't return void. It's the same, just like God himself, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can count on it. To hold the line means to stand firm in faith. You refuse to give up, give in, or give over to the enemy what God has entrusted to you and to us as a body. When I say ground, because I've used it several times, and sometimes we get a little Christianese, I call it, when you've been in the church a long time, and maybe you know, but let me remind you if you already know. In the physical, many battles were fought and are fought over land. Right? We know that. We have that happening right now. Not necessarily in here, right? Across the seas. But in the spiritual battles, we fight over lives, human lives, the souls, right, that need to go to heaven. The enemy's goal is ground, but hey, it's not dirt. He doesn't want land necessarily. He wants our hearts. Amen. Again, I'll say he wants our marriages. He wants our families. He wants our communities. He wants the culture, and he wants the nations. He wants it all. He wants it all. God has called us to hold the line and guard the ground with the power and the weapons that Jesus has given to us. He's entrusted to us these fronts to hold the line and advance his kingdom. If you have a family, God has blessed you with that. That is a front. That is your responsibility. To hold the line for your family. And when you need help, speak up. We all need help. I didn't pray alone when Ethan was a baby and in the hospital. I'm sure you all didn't pray alone in your different illnesses and things that have happened. You all have a story. Somebody came alongside me and prayed for Ethan when I couldn't. I didn't know what to say. I didn't have the words. I just said, Lord, help him, heal him. I know you have a plan for this baby. You gave him to me. But it was an honest mother's prayer, and somebody came alongside me. God brought me a warrior. They came alongside and prayed with me, right? So God brings you what you need. And I asked Aaron if I could share. I didn't even know Aaron was depressed And she gave me permission to share. But the enemy had gotten a hold of her. Look, I was a stay-at-home mom. I was on it. She was depressed. I didn't know it. And God revealed it. And he healed it. But I almost lost her. And look what we have today, because God is so good. And because a mom and a church or all the people that joined with me to pray to take her out of that darkness. And why? Can you see why the battle was so fierce? You all have, a lot of you in the church have that testimony. You see your kids coming up. You see it's cost you to pray. You see, but look what you have. What a blessing. I don't know that all parents get to see. I'm not bragging the fruit of their kids. You're not guaranteed. I just know that I do what I am guaranteed. That if I do this, God says this. So let me take that back. So I thank God that she's here now warring on your behalf. But the enemy wanted her so bad. All of them. All of my kids. And if you think about your own children, God, the enemy wants them. But, you know, God already has a plan. You just got to hear the plan and go with his strategy. What does it mean to hold the line? Sounds repetitive, I know. We need to stand firm, refuse to give ground, and stay faithful. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, it says, stand firm in faith. Watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. And then God's ways, his ways are not our ways. Do you guys know that? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Because in verse 14 it says, and let all that you do be done with love. I'm not trying to control my kids. I'm not doing what I need to do out of manipulation. I'm praying and asking the Lord for the strategy, and I'm loving them. Whatever that looks like for them. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. God promises to be faithful. You can hang on to that. In the darkest of dark, hang on to that. And I never can, really, I should say never. I have a hard time when God tells me to do something positive. I always think, why don't I do that? So I just want to touch briefly on why sometimes we fail to hold the line. I don't know why my mind does that. It's just the uniqueness of me. What can I say? Maybe you have the same in the same boat with me, and let's talk later and have coffee. But anyway, so why we fail to hold the line. Sometimes, and this I feel like we probably could all relate to, we just get tired of the same old battle. We get that difficult medical report. I can't wait till I hear my niece's report, like we heard from Sandra today, that she's got a clear report. Leah's 31. Everything's stable. She's doing wonderful. I'm just waiting for that clean report. Meanwhile, I'm still standing. I don't feel too weary about that. I feel pretty energized. I had a lot of people. All you guys have come on board. Doesn't it make the work so light when we're all working together, praying together, standing together? Maybe it's, I lost my place. Just one moment. I think I do this every time. Maybe it's that prodigal child we're waiting to come home, but we want them to come back. Maybe it is that marriage. You want to see a shift or a change. One thing went up when I was finishing up this morning, just kind of going over things. I thought so many times I'm praying, oh, let there be a change, let there be a change. But what I really want is relief. So I want to ask you to go a little deeper than me. Don't stay so shallow. Although the relief is nice, we really need to authentically pray that Lord will have his way and do what is needed in the situation, because it's what he wants. So, I mean, it's okay if you start out a little shallow thinking, Lord, I just need some relief. Let's get this battle over. But God will grow you to this other place. He will mature us. There's time for that. In Galatians 6:9, it encourages, let us not become weary in doing good. One of my favorite, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up, as spoken today. The other reason we fail is we compromise. We allow the culture around us to redefine God's truth. And yet, in Romans 12:2, I think, again, spoken last week, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The other thing is open doors. The enemy takes advantage of open doors. Open doors, our humanness, sometimes even our ancestral background sin. The enemy is a formidable, and I wanted to say that at the beginning, I forgot, formidable foe, meaning a very worthy opponent. He can't read your mind. Let's remember that. He can't read your mind, but he certainly can see patterns of behavior just like I can and you can. Yes. You can see patterns. He knows in an ancestral line what the pattern tends to be and what the trip up is. So he'll use those, or even our ancestral patterns. Ephesians 4:26-7, this is just an example of how Satan can get a foothold, and you guys know this verse too. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. The foothold is like leaving a door open. Basically, this is just unresolved sin, or what I call wrongs against the Lord, outside his will, holding unforgiveness in particular. Anger in sin is an open door. There's a way to be angry in sin, not the scripture says that as well. But just remember that unresolved sin, the Lord will convict you. The Holy Spirit will show you. Get that door closed. Another reason is division. The enemy likes us to divide us, and then we don't want to stand together. We also let fear, this was a big one of mine in the past, is we'll let the fear of standing out, other people knowing who I am and what I'm about, and just sticking out like in the crowd, or even facing the opposition. And however, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, which sounds pretty intimidating. See, you can't take the line or move the line forward or hold the line if you're crouching in fear. That's a whole nother topic. Probably we'll come back to that one some other time. It says to resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know what the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing. And I used this one early, undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We've not necessarily faced the same, I don't think, torture and things that people around the world are facing. But we need to take the opportunity to stand firm. Also, a lack of preparation. We don't put on that armor. I know the youth were learning about the armor. Just not either taking it serious and putting that spiritual armor on. And yet that's one of God's main ways of protecting us. And again, it's not the Lord giving you the pop quiz. It's the enemy. So you need to be ready. Or the big test, right? You need to be ready. Get your armor on just in case. So each of those things that I listed, are a point of entry for the enemy. And when we let our guard down, we give ground rather than maintaining the ground or advancing the ground. Who's the ground for? Not for me or you. The ground is for the kingdom of God. Yes, our family gets protected. Yes, our church is protected. Yes, you know, as we advance the kingdom. But ultimately, that's what we're trying to do, bring honor to God and advance his kingdom. So I'm almost finished. So here's where we are, the decision point. I want to encourage you today to choose ahead of time that you will hold the line if you haven't already. Choose that you'll hold the line. Because James 1:12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood that test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I've kept the faith. Amen. So how are we going to hold that line? We're going to stand in the armor of God. That's his truth, his righteousness, his faith, his salvation. And as we study those words out, that the weapons of our warfare, you'll see that those are some of our tools. And I'm also going to encourage us to stand shoulder to shoulder. This church is the strongest when we're united, No lone soldiers. I've been a lone soldier. It's not very fun. At times, I'm not a lone soldier right now, but in the past. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves, in Philippians 1:27, in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I'll know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Stand on God's promises. And I talked earlier about every place we set our foot belongs to God. You can see that in Joshua and in Deuteronomy, Joshua 1:3-5, and Deuteronomy 11-24. God specifically tells the Israelites, wherever they set their foot, that belongs to God. Right. Here's some rewards of holding the line. Your faith will grow, James 1:3. Your trust in God will deepen. Amen. Proverbs 3:5-6, very familiar scriptures. Our church, the Church of Christ, shines, Matthew 5:14-16. Our victory is secured. I like Isaiah 54:17 for that. I'm not going to read all those. There's your homework, I guess. I can give homework. Holding the line, though, is not just about survival. It's about advancing the kingdom and leaving a testimony of faithfulness for those behind. I hope my children can look like I did at my mother now and my grandmother before her to say, you know, they were faithful to the... My mom is still here, by the way, but my grandmother passed on, that she was faithful to the end. I want my children to be able, and my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren to say my mom was faithful in the Lord. I want that to be my testimony. Holding the line, like I said, is about leaving that testimony, advancing the kingdom. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. So here's the call. I want you to hold the line. Wake up, as I said. Stand firm because Jesus has already secured our victory. This is not the time to retreat, but it is the time for boldness. That's right. Thank you, Lord. So where do you need to hold the line? Where do you need to hold the line? Is it in your family, your faith, your marriage, your integrity, your witness? Because today is the day to stand firm. Hold the line. Let us pray. So, Lord, we choose to stand firm in you. And as the church, Father, we hold the line on your truth, Father. Your promises, your kingdom. God, we want to advance that. And, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each believer that's here individually, Father, and strengthen us together as a body. In Jesus' name, amen.